Hello, everybody. Give you just a moment to let you guys back in here. Not today, Satan. Not going to happen. Every time I get into some meaty topics, man, this happens. I'm still waiting for that router to get here. It should be here hopefully tomorrow so we can get this thing up and going off of Wi-Fi. The problem is that you figure that it would go off all over my house, but it's just right here. So every time I start talking about something good, man, it wants to shut down on me. Yep. Ain't gonna happen. Like I said, that router should be in here tomorrow, so we shouldn't have at least that problem. I'm hoping that's it. But and it's only on my Podbean. So, all right, let me get everything back up here, guys, and we'll get right back in the show, and then we'll get into our the topic for the evening here in a moment. So, as I said, they're trying to do everything they can just to pull God out of this world and to remove the conversation of God at the very least, and they're going after anybody who is a free thinker and spreading the information about God. And we're just seeing more and more examples of this every single day on all the different platforms. Like I said, even the algorithms have changed on what I've been looking at all over the place, especially on TikTok over the last couple of days, is it's changing my algorithms. They know that I look for Christian content. They know that I look for political content, like, you know, our conservative political content. And now all they've been feeding me is like anti-Trump stuff and anti-Christian stuff. So even they're working on changing those algorithms. Apparently, they're already spying on us. Look at that, man. They're shutting us down. So, all right, where were we? We'll get back in this conversation and we'll get into our topic because apparently we're talking about some good stuff here. So that guy, like I said, needs to get arrested. He was the guy I was talking about that more people that are proven right now that Antifa, CIA were actually infiltrating our CIA. And I'm hoping this stuff comes out more and more to the public so we can actually see this, but more and more people are now at least attentive and starting to accept that this stuff was absolutely true. So now we've got, and this isn't a surprise whatsoever, not a single Democrat witness in Congress agreed that only citizens should vote in federal elections. Let me repeat that. Not one single Democrat witness in Congress agreed that only citizens should vote in federal elections. I know, exactly. And we knew this was going. They're trying to replace us. And matter of fact, they're splitting us up, trying to divide us by race, you know, trying to get the black people to hate the white people to hate the black people. Why is that? Because they want us divided. Because the people right now who are in the biggest trouble that are going to be seeing this first are going to be the people of color. It's going to be the black people, the Mexicans, and so forth that are living everywhere. They're the ones who are being replaced right now by this immigration that's coming in right now. Now they're opening the doors for the possibility of the Haitians to come into our country, and they're literally cannibalizing and eating people over in Haiti, and now these people are going to be coming over here. So I know that DeSantis has signed a couple of orders today, adding more police, more helicopters or air units and so forth to be able to go over and look over the water so that they can do what they can to keep these Haitians from coming into our country. But my question is, when is Biden going to do what he tried to do in Texas by tying their hands? And I imagine that's probably coming. This is going to be a big mess here at some point, without question. Then we got, here real quick. So, Judge McAfee dismisses six charges from the Fannie Willis RICO case against Donald Trump. So apparently there was like 12 or 13 charges total. Six of those have just recently been removed. Now they need to remove all of these charges and they need to put Fannie Willis, whatever her name is, they need to put her in cuffs. They need to be held accountable for what they did. Treason. Interfering in election, interfering in the January 6th committee. They need to start going after all of this stuff. And these people absolutely need to be held accountable and let the world see them being held accountable. And I'm not one of those people that believes, you know, if there was ever like Guantanamo hangings or anything like that, you know, I wouldn't want to personally see that on television myself. But at the same time, people don't know what consequences anymore. You've got people now that, you know, could be facing lifetime in jail up in Canada for hate speech while rapists and murderers are getting very low charges. There's no consequences anymore, which is why they feel emboldened to get away with what they're doing. So what do you need to do? Maybe you need to have some of these criminal punishments, you know, these death sentences where people can see so they can have the reality of what consequences are. Because the moment people start seeing consequences, seeing people held accountable for their actions, they themselves are going to rethink some of the stupid things they do. And like I said, it's just an absolute madhouse right now. So last week over in Oklahoma, or a couple weeks ago, there was a, quote, transgender non-binary girl who got into a fight in the bathroom with three other white girls. So she went in there, she blamed, or he, she, whatever they call themselves, were blaming those people for starting the fight, but it turned out that she literally went and dumped water on all three of these other girls' heads first. That is assault, because you don't know what's inside that bottle. It could be water, but it could be urine. It could be acid. It could be Clorox. It could be any number of things. It could be acids. I mean, it could be any number of things. So it is an assault. So when these girls defended themselves against this girl, you know, it wasn't like they attacked her, like they were trying to put out on the news. So this girl, all of them ended up going to get medical checked. The one girl, the girl guy, non-binary, whatever it is, went to the doctor. Doctors looked at her and said, "You're fine. You're no problems." And they sent her home. Ask Steve what happens when you go to the hospital and you're sick. They'll do everything they can to keep you there. They're not going to be like, "Okay, you got some major problems, but just go on home. We'll deal with this later." No, it doesn't work like that. So they literally sent this girl home. She ended up back into the hospital the next day, and she died. So what does our beautiful, just trustworthy, great media do? They ran all over the place with three white girls bully, beat up, and kill non-binary student. They jumped all over the bat. They made this girl, these girls look like they did something wrong. And then this was all over the news. It's going all over social media. Now the LGBT is like, see, all of these Christian nationalists, you know, that they like to go there, they're hateful and they keep trying to beat us up and they're killing us now. That isn't the truth. Look at the statistics. The most deaths that take place within the LGBT community, within the trans community, are them killing each other or them taking their own lives. So what did the final verdict be? Well, autopsy report was done on her. It was a suicide. Exactly, Blade Runner. It was a suicide. She ended up overdosing on drugs and killed herself. But you didn't hear that part on the news, did you? They already got their talking point out there, and they completely never came back to tell people the reality of it. This is how they keep things going. And I saw the absolute most disgusting example of this last night. So we've been talking about private investigator Hen, or whatever his name is, that was looking into the Biden documents that basically that he took and he was storing in his garage and all this other stuff. Remember, they went after Trump for this. You can't take declassified stuff. Well, here's the kicker. The last three people that have run for president, that would be Hillary Clinton. That would be Trump. That would be Biden. Yeah, all three of them had documents on them. But only one of them actually got people going after him and put him through court. And that was Trump. And the irony is that Trump was the only one who was legally allowed to do it, because as a president, the moment that you touch anything and you remove it and put it to another place, you basically declassified it. Presidents have the ability to declassify anything they want to. Trump did that. He had all this stuff there. What they really went into Mar-a-Lago for was trying to recover some information that Trump had that was really harmful to them. So thank you so much, True Patriot. So Robert Herr, this is so disgusting. Like, I don't think I've ever seen my mom so disgusted and so mad last night, but I was the same way watching this. So was it Prima Jayapal? You guys know who I'm talking about. That woman is like, oh man, she's just absolutely, everything about her is just disgusting. She's part of the squad. So Robert Herr is literally sitting at the congressional table. You know that table they sit at with the microphone, and all the congressmen are sitting up here and they're asking him questions and doing their little interviews. Yeah, ugly, exactly, True Patriot. Thank you for saying that. I didn't want to say it myself, but for those of you watching later, uglier than a mud fence. That's a pretty good example of what she is. So Robert Herr is literally sitting up there and he's telling him, like, this is what I found. I found this. So Jayapal gets up there and she was like, okay, so let me get this straight. And she crisps her little paper and she's reading off it. So according to this, that Biden has been completely exonerated and didn't do anything wrong and literally just kept spouting off lie after lie after lie. And the hard part about watching this was literally Robert Herr was sitting in the table right in front of her. The guy who did the investigation, the guy that knew everything about the investigation, the guy that knows every detail about the investigation. And she is telling him that he found nothing. And in this report, he completely exonerated him. And then Herr was like, whoa, I want to correct you real quick. I didn't say that. I literally, and he couldn't even get it out of his mouth. Like, he was talking and she was talking over him. She's like, this is my time. You be quiet. This is my time. And then continues to spout her lies. right in front of the guy who was literally giving him all the truth and the information of what he found. And all they do is, that was a soundbite. That's all this was. Every Congress or a Democrat congressman that got up there did the same thing for the soundbite. And then what CNN, NBC, and all the rest of them, we knew they were going to do it, did exactly what I thought they were going to do. They took that one soundbite of her and the other congressman up there going, there were no crimes. You proved in this that he was completely exonerated. So what did the world hear? Well, the world heard that Biden's not a criminal, that Biden did absolutely nothing wrong. When the reality was, Hinn was literally going, no, it's not what I said. I said that there was multiple examples that he committed high crimes here. All I said was that he's too old, not mentally capable of standing trial. That's all that I said. So that was the most grotesque thing I have ever seen. And it was literally, like I said, it shows you how bold these people are about lying and how they really just don't care. Yeah, exactly, Blade Runner. Like Adam Shifty Schiff talking to the media, it was exactly that. They throw the lies out purely for the soundbite. They regurgitate and repeat these soundbites over and over again. And then all your Democrats, all their talking point was, well, that's not true. He was exonerated, when it was the complete opposite, an absolute lie. I mean, I was so disgusted seeing this, but this is how bold they are right now. They literally in no way try to hide anything at all. And I'm like, I can't even believe I made it through, but I don't think, like I said, I don't think I've ever seen my mother so upset in her life watching that. But these people all need to be held accountable in some major, major ways. And I'm hoping that that comes here soon. So let me get my other videos open real quick, because my computer went down, everything shut down. So now we like this right here. And I like this too, the Trinity Explained. And I like what this guy had to say. Because, you know, every now and then, and I know you guys are the same thing, the same as me, is that you have people that are curious. Sometimes they're just hateful and they want to prove you wrong, but sometimes they sincerely ask these questions and will understand. And what this guy was asking was, if Jesus, is Jesus part of the Trinity or is he separate from the Trinity? And then he was like, if they are the same thing, if it's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and they're the same thing, then why did Jesus talk to his Father while he was on the cross? And you know what? I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't have been able to explain that to someone that asked me the question. But this guy right here had the great explanation. Listen to this.
Why has thou forsaken me?
Who's he talking to? Himself?
Well, the Father.
Well, why is he got to ask that question if it's him? Do they have two different thought patterns? How does one person not know what the other person's doing if they're the one and the same? Who raised him from the dead? Himself?
No, the Father did. But in Genesis chapter 2, God said, let us make man in our image.
Right.
Okay. Now, what is the image? What did he mean? I have two arms and two legs and a head, so we're going to make man look like that? Okay, I don't believe so, because in the book of James, it talks about there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. They're one. Okay, now I believe, this is just what I believe. I believe that God is a Trinity, and when he made us in his image, he made us a Trinity. Okay, now there's a huge difference. I have a body, I have a soul, all right, and I have a spirit. There are three separate. My spirit is not my soul. My soul is not my body. They're three separate, but together we make up one.
But okay. They're separate.
But they're separate. Okay.
Yeah.
But if my spirit were to leave, I'm dead. Mm-hmm. Okay. I can't separate them out. They're three different ones, but we're together like the egg, you know, the eggshell, the egg yolk, and the yellow. All right. I believe God is one body. He has a body. Jesus Christ became God in the flesh. All right. He has a spirit. We have God, the Holy Spirit, and he has a soul, God, the Father. Now, being God, what God is capable of doing, God is capable of separating the three different parts of his oneness. Mm-hmm. God, the Father, God, the Son, God, the Holy Spirit. They're all one. Okay. But he's able for his spirit to be over there, and his body over here, and his soul here. And God in his wisdom knew that Jesus Christ, he was all God, but he was also all man. And he had to succeed as all man. And so part of that success, as man, Hebrews says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So Jesus had to succeed. His humanity part had to succeed in the area of faith in the Father. Okay, so he had to have faith. And so for him to have faith, God the Father had to put up a curtain at times and say, look, I'm not going to explain to you why I'm doing this. Because you're, who sinned in the garden? Man sinned, all right? So man is the one that broke that law with God and caused that separation between God. Therefore, it was man that had to get it back. But man can't get it back. Because man's a sinner. So God had to come down and become man and live 33 and a half years and not sin and succeed as a man in order to bring man back to God the Father. So the Bible talks about how you've got God the Father here and he's righteous and holy. Okay. And you've got sinful man here and they're separated. There's a great chasm between them. God cannot touch man because man's a sinner. Man cannot come to God because God's holy. So God became a man and lived without sin. So he succeeded as a man. So as a man and as God, he's the only in existence who has the power and the authority to reach out and take the hand of man because he is a man. Man messed up, so man had to make it right.
That is just awesome. Such a great explanation. And like I said, that was one of those things that, you know, because I do on occasion, I get a question and I just get just as curious for the answer as anybody else does. But that was probably one of the best answers that I have ever heard is that, and I'll make sure, Tam, yes, after the show, I'll make sure to link this one in KC so you guys can see that. But that was so brilliantly answered. As humans, what would happen if I lacked my body? I wouldn't be able to survive. What would happen if I didn't have a soul? I'd die. What would happen if I didn't have a spirit? I'd be nothing. I'd be dead. You know what I'm saying? At the very least, I'd be dead because I don't have God in my heart. But God supersedes everything. He supersedes time, space, matter, and everything. So it would make sense that he would have the ability to separate those three things temporarily. And like he said so brilliantly, sometimes God has to put up a curtain and say, look, I'm not here to explain this to you. God, Jesus had to come down. God had to come down as Jesus as a man to live as a man, to get through this life without sin in order to make the impact that he had, therefore dying on the cross for all of our sins. And that was so well explained. And like I said, I love that too, because I've literally been asked this question before and I just really couldn't find such a didactic, precise answer as this guy gave right here. So that is amazing. And I'll definitely make sure to get this up on our KC after we get done with this show tonight. But, you know, there's another guy that I came across. I'm going to play this one for you real quick. And I love what he's doing. See, God has given every one of us a mission. All right. You know, it doesn't matter what it is. Nothing is more important than anything else that any man or woman does for the Heavenly Father in his service. It's all his divine will, our missions that come together. Like I said, is my mission and your mission come together to fulfill God's mission. This guy's mission is so perfect because what he does, he goes all through TikTok and he finds people that are either doubting God or trying to manipulate people or try, you know, just to deceive people into believing that there is no God. And then he comes back with reference and scripture and everything to show them how wrong that they were. And he's so good at doing this. Like I said, God always puts his aces in their places. So I'm going to give you one example of what this guy does. And this is awesome. Like I said, is God knows so well what he's doing. And it's just awesome how many different people he has doing so many different missions, which are all part of the same big mission, which is trying to help people find God so that they have that chance of salvation and eternal life. So listen to this.
I'm an atheist. And even if you're a Christian, you are too. Just hear me out for a second.
All right.
So he says that I'm an atheist. And since you only believe in one God, then you are too.
Let's hear it.
So we're both atheists. I just believe in one less God than you do.
That's not how definitions work. Am I now single because out of the 8 billion people, I'm only in a relationship with one? Being in one relationship makes you not single. Believing in one God makes you not an atheist. Next.
Because of the 4,000 religions that exist in the world today, each of them all having their own fantastical elements and deep lore, exactly like yours. But no, all that stuff, that can't be real. Yours is the real one, though.
Well, counterfeit money exists everywhere, but that does not mean that there is no real money. In the same way, counterfeit gods exist everywhere, but that does not mean that there is no one true God. You have to examine the evidence. And looking throughout history, the best candidate of one who has been sent by God is Jesus of Nazareth. And the best explanation of the historical events surrounding this man is that he rose from the grave. Don't stop looking for the right answer just because there are a lot of answers out there.
Can't disprove fiction with another piece of fiction.
This is the fallacy called begging the question. You are just assuming that they are all fiction. Can you prove that Christianity is fiction?
So either none of these gods, including yours, exist, or if you acknowledge the fantastic elements of your own god, that means basically all of these gods can exist.
That's a false dilemma. Or there is a one true god. Religions claim contradictory things, so they cannot all be true. Counterfeits don't change the truth. Also, if you heard some noise in the background, it was probably this guy.
Sorry, little puppy.
God bless.
So this guy is awesome, and he does this all the time with people that are trying to dispute God's reality and God being real. And he does, True Faith, he does sound like Archer. That was like when I was listening to it earlier, I wasn't looking. I was like, man, the dude sounds like Archer. But this guy right here is trying to say, you know, of all the different gods and beliefs in the world, what makes you think that yours is right? And he's perfectly, he's like, you know, it's basically like saying, you know, there's loads of counterfeit money in this world, but that doesn't mean that real money doesn't exist. You know, so he brings all this thing, and I saw another version where this guy kind of gets into it a little bit more, and the guy's talking about like Egyptian gods and so forth. And he's like, none of those Egyptian gods were real. You know what I'm saying? They're all stories. You know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't like in Christianity, you can prove that, you know, whether you believe that Christ was the Messiah or not, you can at least prove that Christ walked this earth. Unlike Horus, unlike Isis, unlike Osiris or any of these other things, which are written in books, but they're not historically accurate. There's no proof that these people literally actually walked this earth and did these things that they supposedly did, where Christianity, whether you believe in Christianity or not, it's still history. You know, so this guy does a really wonderful job. He's really good with analogies that make people really start to look and to think about, you know, what they're really talking about. Exactly. There's exactly, DJ Shaw, they're counterfeit. And just like he said, you know, early, it's like there's counterfeit religions all over the place. There's counterfeit gods all over the place, but it doesn't mean that God's not real. And you calling me an atheist, it's like, look, if I'm off the market, if I'm dating one person, therefore I'm not single. Therefore, if I believe in God, I'm not an atheist. So good for this guy. And he's got some pretty brilliant stuff. And then finally, right, one more thing before we get into our topic for the night. I want to play this real quick. This is awesome. And it's just showing you when God gives you a platform, you use it in his heavenly name. It doesn't matter what, if you are a professional football player, professional basketball player, an entertainer of any kind, when God gives you a huge platform, you take advantage of this. This right here is Jaden Ivey, who is a basketball player. Listen to this.
First, I just want to say that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. And to any of, you know, the world that's hearing this message, the kingdom of heaven is near. Jesus is coming back, and we all have to repent for our sins. And we have to put our faith in Jesus. He will come back, when you least expect it. And, you know, it's time to wake up if you haven't put your faith in Jesus Christ.
So how awesome is that? He plays for the Detroit Pistons. This was literally right after a game. And you know how they do this little post-game interview. So I've seen a lot of people, and I'm not gonna lie, I get really excited whenever I see a quarterback or anybody go, and we won the game, but I can't take the credit. All glory goes to God. Thank you, God, for protecting me. And you know, I always get excited when I see that. But this dude right here wasn't even talking about basketball. He got up there, sat down at the podium, looking to the microphone, and he's like, Jesus is Lord. You better repent. You don't have much time left. Like, that is utilizing your platform. And I would love to see more and more people out there doing this. But man, did we see something like this like 5 years ago, 6 years ago? No. We're starting to see it more and more and more. People right now are there because they're realizing, they're seeing how close it is. They're seeing the prophecies unfold. They're seeing how the world is right now. So they're like, you know what? I don't have time to play around anymore. I need to utilize every gift that God gave me. He gave me this ability right here to be a professional basketball player, but he also gave me a platform and this microphone right here to speak to the hundreds of thousands of people that watch this game and are watching this interview, hearing about the Lord Almighty and the importance of repenting. Amen to that. And that is awesome. So we're going to go ahead and we'll finish the night off, maybe go a little bit over talking about this little thing that I prepared about the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. So depending on what scripture you look in, it'll be called the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit or the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, King James Version, it would be the fruits. So in addition to the nine holy gifts of the Holy Spirit, the Bible also tells us about fruits, you know, the same, you know, referring to the holy, the fruits of the Holy Spirit. As you will see in the scripture verse, I will bring in or read you here in a moment, that there is one very special, incredible verse that will tell you that God the Father wants to transmit and import nine specific fruits of the Holy Spirit up into our personalities. So God wants us all to enter into a true sanctification process with Him so that He can begin the process of molding, shaping, and transforming us into expressive image of His Son, Jesus Christ. So He wants to make us into a better and more holy people than we are. He wants us to transform us by the renewing of our minds. He wants us to put right thinking into our thought process. So that brings us nine fruits. So in the sanctification, I give you specific verses from Scripture that will show you by His power of the Holy Spirit that the sanctification process is done with you in this life. However, you will not be a passive robot in all of this. You have to be willing to work in cooperation with the Holy Spirit once He begins and starts the sanctification process within you. So as I, you know, am learning more and more, when you accept Christ, when you accept God into your heart, it's not as simple as just, I accept you into my heart. Thank you, God. You're now with me. You're literally dying. The moment you accept Christ, you have now died in the flesh and you have become and accepted the Spirit. You literally are going through a transformation process from death to rebirth. So we have something that we have to do in the process. It's not as simple as God, you know, if God just, God's not a genie, he just like, poof, now you're going to do what I say. God gives us free wills. We weren't meant to be robots. God didn't want us to be robots. He wants us to have that free will, to utilize it and to love and accept him and to have faith in him on our own accord and our own will. So we do have a job to do. And the harder we try to do this, as we've seen in many examples, devil comes after us and tries to mess up our service for God. We see that in all of our lives all the time. So our job will be to get in the Word to find out exactly what God is going and wants to change about us individually. We will need to find out exactly what godly qualities God will want and put into us, into our personalities, and what qualities He will want to try and put away. So I go back to what it was titled, the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. So what did God ask us to do? You know, don't go by the Word. Don't keep talking. He wants to be present in the fruits that we bear. Because when we bear beautiful fruits that aren't tainted and rotting, we do good things for good people. It's not the deeds that get us into heaven, but our actions and our goodwill and our good deeds are examples of Christ within us. So when people come up to us, we don't want them to see Joseph Duncan McGregor. We don't want people to see that. We want people to look at me and see God, Jesus within us, exuding through everything that we say, exuding through everything that we do. That's what we need to do. God needs to be seen in us. We should get to the point where when someone walks up to us and I'm just wearing normal plain clothes, no designs or anything on them, somebody can walk up to me and be like, you are a follower of Christ. We want it to be that apparent. We want people to look at the glow on our face, the smiles that we put out, the love that comes straight out of us, that's coming through God and our souls out to the rest of the world, to where they literally go, I can see Christ within you. We're trying to be the best people that we can be, and that is through the fruits that we bear. So I'm going to go and bring you through some of these nine things. I'm going to read a couple of things here. So if you want to start off by keying on some of the more positive godly qualities that God would really get worked into your personality, study and pray over this. So when God the Father purposely isolates and spells out nine specific qualities that will be coming directly from His Holy Spirit, then He is really letting you know the extreme importance of these nine fruits. And there's more fruits that are out there, but God specifically points these out. These nine fruits are major fruits and qualities that are coming directly from God himself. And every Christian should do the best that they can to work with this Holy Spirit in getting all of these nine fruits work into our personalities to where it becomes muscle memory. We become so acclimated and it becomes so normal within us that we just do these things. So first I will start off by highlighting each of these nine specific fruits so that we can isolate them within ourselves. And then I'm going to read a couple of scripture verses with these nine fruits are coming from. And then I'm going to do a brief commentary on each one of these fruits so that you can fully understand what each one of these fruits is truly about. So how they can dramatically change the quality of our lives, the state of our well-being, if we are willing to allow the Holy Spirit to start working within us within these fruits, but also as an example to help inspire other people. Because just like courage inspires courage, where fear can inspire fear, the fruits that we bear, our goodness, our true love, can also inspire others to follow that same route and then start seeking Christ. So here are the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. Number one is love. We talk about love all the time. Love is one of those things that it's something that you really can't fake. It's hard to explain. Like I said earlier, try, if someone says, explain to me what love is. You know, I've asked that question to people, and it's really hard for people to say, to explain what love is without throwing the word love in there somewhere. And you can't describe, or you can't define a word with the word, you know, so it's a really difficult thing to do. Next one is joy. Joy is one of those things that comes naturally when you find Christ. You can find joy within absolutely anything on this earth because God examples so many of his brilliance and his joy and his love all throughout the earth. Walking outside on a beautiful day brings me joy. Hearing birds singing brings me a joy. It's those simple things. We need to define and reevaluate what brings us joy. It shouldn't be an iPhone. It shouldn't be a new TV show. You know what I'm saying? It should literally be the things that come directly from God, those things that are natural, that are all around us and just obvious every single time that we walk out. The next one is peace. Satan certainly doesn't bring you peace. He brings you the opposite of peace. Matter of fact, whenever Satan starts working in your life, what do you get? You get fearful, you get anxiety, you get stressed out. He brings you anything but peace. He's going to try to manipulate peace during the 7 years that we're walking into, that first 3.5 years. He comes in the name of peace, but it doesn't end out so well. It's nothing but deception. God brings the true peace, that peace that you find within yourself, within your soul, within your spirit, the moment that you bring Christ into your heart and you realize that there's no reason to be afraid. There's no reason to have anxiety. God says, take your problems, put them into my hands, give them over to me. I will take them from you. And I always explain this to people that aren't Christians. It's like taking 2 gallons of water and boiling that water. What would happen if you take a spoonful of sugar and you dump it into that 2 gallons of boiling water? Well, the greater mass is going to take over. The sugar is going to completely dissipate. So let's look at that 2 gallons of water as God, the living water, okay? So what happens when you take your stupid, menial, trivial problems and you hand them over to God? God is an infinite source of love, kindness, joy, peace, and all of that stuff. So that little bit of trouble that you're handing over to God dissipates like the sugar in the 2 gallons of water. The greater mass takes over. And there is no greater mass than God. God is fulfilled in living within everything all around us. There's examples of it all over the place. So nothing that we can hand to God is even going to faze him. And that's why he says, hand it over to me. And the moment that we do, we gain the peace that God asks us to have is one of these nine fruits. Next one is long suffering. Number 5 is kindness. Number 6 is goodness. Number 7 is faithfulness. Number 8 is gentleness. And number 9 is self-control. These are all the nine fruits that God asks to have. So now here are specific verses from scripture of these nine fruits, and then I will go in and explain these things individually. First off, this is Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. all of them right here. Once again, there are many more fruits that God gives to us, but these nine are specific. And then once again, I go back to what does nine mean? Nine mentioned 49 times in the scripture, and it all references the same thing. Nine represents spiritual finality, and that doesn't happen unless you've got God in your heart. So the word spirit is with a capital S, okay? What does the capital S define? Capital S, which means that these nine fruits are coming directly from the Holy Spirit, not from ourselves. Capital S. Lower S, from humans. Capital S, just like the power in the name, the difference between lowercase g and uppercase G in the name of God, that capital letters always of significant meaning coming from the Lord himself. So what this means is that God's love, God's peace, God's joy, God's goodness can start to be transmitted up into our personalities. These are his divine attributes and a personality qualities that will start to move into the core of our personalities once we accept God to our heart. But once again, it's not like God's a genie. We've got to work at it. We have to be willing to accept a gift. If God is giving the gift, we have the free will to deny it. We have the free will to take it. I would certainly recommend taking that gift because God's not going to give you anything that's going to be a detriment to your life. Everything that God presents to you is going to be something that benefits not only yourself, but other people around the world as well. Just like some of the trials and tribulations, sometimes we go, God, why are you putting it into my life? And then if we were just to sit down and wait another couple of weeks, we would see exactly why God put it into our life. It's something that benefits us. It may seem troublesome at the time, but in the long run, it's going to be what's best for us. So this is why God the Father is specifically telling us in this verse that these nine fruits are coming directly from his Holy Spirit, so that we can fully appreciate the magnitude of such an experience that God is allowing us to partake in. Jesus has already told us that he is the vine and that we are the branches. So the branches draw their life from the vine, and it's not vice versa. So just as the branch draws its life from the vine, so too we must draw our life directly from Jesus. Christ is our vine. Jesus will release his divine life directly unto through the Holy Spirit in the exact same way that the vine will release life into its tree, into the branches, into the grapes. So in one short but incredible, powerful scriptural verse, God the Father is giving all of us an incredible relation, or excuse me, incredible revelation to what can go on behind the scenes in the spiritual realm for those who are willing to work with him in his sanctification process. So now I'm going to describe what each of these nine fruits are about, and then I'll give you definitions that are different Bible dictionaries and commentaries, but basically they all come down to the same thing. So we got love first. Fruit of the Spirit, Bible verse. If I had to rank all of the above fruit in the Spirit in order of possible importance, the quality of love would have to be number one, because a lot of the other ones kind of fit into that category of love. So, and this is why we may have been listed in the first fruit in the above scripture, which is why love is mentioned first. So due to the extreme importance of just this one quality, I'm going to go down and I'm going to read this little bit from an article, which is The Power of Love. So this article will also be listed in the sanctification section, and I'll make sure to put this up directly so that you guys can see it. That there are some very powerful, profound verses from scripture on just this one quality alone. Love is mentioned hundreds of times in the Bible, and it needs to have its own article to do its proper justice. So I'll make sure, like I said, to link that one in there for you. So unselfish, benevolent concern for another, brotherly concern, the object of brotherly concern or affection, the self-denying, self-sacrificing, Christ-like love, which is the foundation of all other graces, unselfish, loyal, benevolent concern for the well-being of another, the high esteem which God has for his human children, and the high regard which they, in turn, should have for him and for other people who are also the children of God. To love, to have affection for someone, to like, to be a friend, to love of brothers for each other. So one of these main messages that comes through loud and clear from the studying of our Bible is the extreme importance that God the Father is in fact placing on that everyone learn how to love him, love ourselves, and love one another, love thy neighbor, and to even go as far as to be able to love our enemies as those who will try and hurt us. So God has asked us many, many times, we can't forget that they are in fact the children of God, which is why it's important for us to pray for their soul, for their to come around to God and to start doing things. And I'm, like I said, I'm becoming more and more comfortable every day with praying for my enemies. So however, the abilities as fallen humans to love one another is very limited. That's the human side of it. That's why we need to live through Christ. This is why it is so important for each and every Christian to work very closely with the Holy Spirit to get this fruit worked up into the core of our personalities to represent God everywhere we go. Next one, joy, fruit of the Bible verse. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Once again, Galatians 5:22. In the rough and tough world that we live in with all of the crime, the disorder, the bad things that can happen to anyone, any of us at any time, many Christians have lost a lot of their joy in the Lord as a result of some of the beatings that we take in life, which is why we need to remember that those beatings are there to, they're blessings in disguise. They're there to toughen us up, to give us the courage, to give us the strength, to give us the discernment, the wisdom, and everything else that we need. Once again, I'm going to go right there, Blade Runner, focus on Him. The moment you think your life is going to complete chaos and disarray, focus on God. Everything gets better pretty much immediately. Like I said, God's not going to just let us hang out to dry. Let me see where to go. So peace from the fruit of the Holy Spirit in the verse. So this is another major quality that we all need operating in our lives. So especially with all of the uncertainty of this life and never knowing what is going to happen next. Jobs are no longer as secure as they used to be. You never know where the company that you work for may be bought, or you end up having to go to another job. Marriages are failing all over the place. We are forced to constantly live under the threat of future terrorism activity. The news brings this to us every single day. So with all this kind of heightened activity that we are forced to deal with on a daily basis, it becomes very easy to lose your sense of peace, especially your peace in the Lord, which is once again why we need to focus on the Lord. So when things start getting out of our hands, we can't handle these things by ourselves. We're just meat puppets walking around here wrapped in God's soul that He gave us. Our bodies are on loan. Our souls belong to the Heavenly Father. Focus on the Lord during these times of chaos, and the chaos will allow you to find the peace within this chaos. And once again, you'll be able to start seeing what God's plan is rather than us trying to sit around constantly worrying about what we need to do. God's going to lead us to exactly where we need to go when that time is ready. So I have found that once it is, peace starts to flow up in your mind, your soul, and emotions, really, as the Bible says, a peace that surpasses all human understanding, especially when that peace comes in right in the middle of a severe storm cloud that you may be going through. So the presence and experience of right relationship, the tranquility of the soul, the sense of well-being and fulfillment that comes from God is dependent on His presence. So we have to have the presence of God all around in order to find that tranquility, the rest, the harmony, and the absence of the agitation and discord, which we're trying to constantly get away. Blade Runner says, calms the storm. Exactly. Long-suffering. One of the main definitions of the word long-suffering is that it's referring to patience. And patience is another sorely needed quality in the fast-paced world. And I talk about that all the time. It's one of my big prayers to God. It's like, God, please give me patience. Give us the same patience that You had with us. So just watch people standing in line at the grocery store, hopping in their cars, watching the news, talking on social media. You can see examples of impatience absolutely everywhere. So with the fast-paced ways of our society, many people have had their fuses shortened up, and thus it takes very little to set them off. But I also remind you, those that are extremely patient, don't think that their patience is weakness. I tell you that right now, because there's an old saying, the biggest booms have the longest fuses. So that guy that you see in the corner that seems to be as calm as can be, one day that man's going to blow up. And his fuse was so long because that fuse needed to be a long way away from that big boom that is coming. Like I said, every man has their point, but we need to understand is don't let that boom in your life be unrighteous anger. Always let it be righteous. Exactly. Don't cause meekness for weakness. Exactly. So for Christians, this poses a major dilemma. So one of the ways that God is, that He is a very patient and long-suffering God, His ways are not our ways, but our ways need to be His ways. So, and one of those things that you will find very early very early on, especially when you find crisis, his ways is that it works on a much slower time frame than we do. We get so frustrated because we live on this this time system that we created, but God's time is a whole lot different than ours is. God operates on a much longer and slower time frame than we are used to operating in this fast-paced world. So the moment you start getting impatient, remember that you're getting impatient with our time frame. You need to get yourself on God's time frame. Kindness. As a result of people being impatient and having short fuses with everybody, people are losing the ability just to love and be kind to other people. We're seeing people, you know, we used to live in a world to where a Republican male could be married to a Democrat woman, vice versa. They could still have a very loving and happy marriage. It wasn't a problem. But right now, all these differences in the world, we become very impatient. We start fighting with one another when we need to be coming together and having just normal conversations like we used to. Coming to a common ground. It's what this is all about. So Jesus is without question the ultimate role model for us of someone who is fully walking and operating in all nine of these fruits that we're talking about. The quality of kindness will go hand in hand with the quality of love. So once the Holy Spirit starts to transmit his love onto you, onto me, the quality of kindness will follow right along with it. It will then become much easier for us to be able to be kind to others once the love of God starts to flow more and more through not only our spirit, but the personality that comes through our spirit, once again, representing those fruits. The next one is goodness. So the Bible says that goodness of God that will lead sinners to repentance and salvation. So the quality of goodness is another real powerful quality to have operating through you at all times. This particular quality has a very real drawing power to it. So not only does the goodness of God draw people to direct to him or direct to him, but the fruits of goodness operating in the believer can also draw people direct to God through the actual believer. So once again, we go to God because of his goodness. But remember, when we are exuding, when we are exampling that goodness of God through us, we may be that goodness that helps people find the goodness of God. So we all work in kind of unison. God is putting these nine fruits into our lives, which are the nine fruits that he bears, that Christ bared in everything that he did. So Jesus said that we are to carry his light and to let the light shine before men and not attempt to hide it. Part of his light of these nine fruits of the Holy Spirit shining through an anointed believer. Non-believers are really drawn to someone who has some degree of these nine fruits manifesting through them. They may not know why, but they're not being drawn to the fruits that are within us. They're being drawn to those fruits that came from God. So they're not being, so those attributes that are being drawn seemingly to us isn't really to us. They're being drawn to the gifts that God has given us. So we need to example that. And like I said, the fruits that we bear can change the lives of others. Faithfulness. In times we live in half of marriages still ending up in divorce, and with many people getting backstabbed in their workplaces, in politics, just by people in this world, this particular quality is one that is really needed in our day and age, faithfulness. This quality is not only needed in our own personal relationship with God, but is also needed in our own personal relationship with our friends, with our families, with our spouses, and so forth. It needs to be something that we, you know, bring into every part of our lives. So once you are saved, you have entered in a true personal relationship with the Lord. One of those things that you will really have to grab a hold of is holding fast to the Lord and staying faithful to him for the rest of our eternal lives. So once you are saved and you have entered into a true personal relationship with the Lord, there is no turning back ever. We need to hold that thing, not lose our faith. We may have those temporary lapses of our faith at some point, but every time I've had a little bit of a lapse of my faith, I've ended up gaining more faith, more strength in my foundation with my relationship with God than before I had that temporary lapse. And I've talked to preachers, pastors, reverends, priests that have all say the same exact thing. Even I have had that temporary lapse of my faith that has ultimately been strengthened once I found what I needed to regain that strength. And I ended up finding more than I had before. So God the Father really holds this particular quality in high esteem. And this is one quality that he will really expect you to operate very strongly in, not only in your own personal relationship with him, but also in every personal relationship that you have with anybody else that is walking this earth in our lives. So in other words, He wants you to be faithful and loyal to your spouses, to your children, to your parents, to your friends, to your family, to anyone on this earth. We need to be faithful to them. Like I said, they may not be faithful to us, but we're not responsible for their actions. We want to change those actions, but our job right here is to have faith and to be loyal as we possibly can to those. We don't want to backstab. We don't want to be a stumbling block for anybody. We are here for one reason, together, to come together as God's churches and to help one another succeed. Because when you fail, I fail. That's the way that I look at it. So we need to strengthen each other up. Like I said, we are all failures together, or we're all champions together, but we're only champions because we found God in our lives. So too many people are bailing out from their spouses and their children, and they hit a few minor speed bumps in their marriages. Too many spouses are having affairs behind their spouse's back. Like I said, we're living in a world right now where loyalty isn't as much as it should be, which is why as Christians, we should absolutely example that 100%. Once again, at the very least, treat others as you want to be treated yourself. Excuse me. Next is gentleness. So many men may draw back and from this next fruit, which is a quality of gentleness. However, Jesus was fully incarnated into a human flesh body, but this incarnation was done as a man, fully God, and he had this trait of gentleness. Since Jesus walked this earth as a man, the Son of Man, study his actions very carefully. When you read the Gospels and how he handled different types of people, he didn't approach people all the same way. God had the ability that he's given us as well, the ability to assess a situation. In this case, just like here with this show we were talking about last night, sometimes you have to rearrange your strategies and then get your strategies going again in another way. We got to be malleable. We got to be like water, able to kind of move around things and readjust our things. So when the devil attacked us one way, as God's children, we find another way to get around that hurdle. His gentle way of handling some of these people is that really jumps out when you really study how he handled these people. Jesus is the perfect role model for all of us to study and to learn, especially with how he handled people while he was walking down upon this earth. For men in particular, his actions and behavior towards others should be a major study for all of us, and we should seek the pattern and follow Christ the way that he walked and lived on this earth. You know, they try to say that a man who cries is weak. I say that a man who cries has the strength in order to cry. And sometimes, you know, it doesn't make you any less of a man. Just like being loving, kind, and gentle doesn't make you any less of a man. Look, when I'm on the battlefield, trust me, I'm going to be a warrior. When Christ comes back down to rapture us and to come reap judgments on this earth, he's not going to be the gentle man that he was walking around. Like I said, there are times to be gentle, which is the majority of our time, but sometimes there has to be that time for action. But we should never do anything with hate or anger. It should only be inspired by holy anger. Not holy hate, there's no such thing, but holy anger. So the Holy Spirit will guide you in all of this. So just realize that the quality of gentleness is just one of those nine fruits, and that this is one of the fruits that he would really like to get worked into our personality, especially in being able to use it when dealing and helping others. Because you know, the old saying that, you know, you'll catch more flies with sugar than vinegar. Well, that's the whole thing, is when you are being loving, when you are being sweet, when you are being gentle and kind, people are more likely to come in and hear what you have to say. But if you go into a place and you're just raising just all kinds of carnage and you're going into it with anger, all you're going to do is push people away. And I've seen different Christians take different tactics in talking to people. And even when I go through videos or I'm listening to what people have to say, the moment they start screaming, you know, that the moment I stop listening, I can say the same exact thing that they said with love, kind, and gentle words and get the same thing across, only the people aren't going to be running away because no one wants to feel hated, wrong, or judged. That's what took me so long to become a Christian. Wasn't God, wasn't Jesus, it was Christians. When I walked into their church and they're like, what are you doing here? You know what I'm saying? You're not clean. You're doing drugs still. Like all those back in the day, who would want to stay at a place that you didn't feel like you were welcomed? You know what I'm saying? We need to be the welcoming people. We need to open our arms and let people in. Look, God doesn't say, get sober and come to me. God said, come as you are. If you're a drug addict, come to me. I will fix you, but you're not going to fix this on your own. You come to me. I will take care of the problem. Come as you are, whether you're hateful, whether you're a bigot, whether you're a drug addict, whether you're an alcoholic, whether you're a pedophile, it doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? Come as you are. Put your hand, your faith in God, accept Christ into your heart, repent for what you have done wrong. God will start working at you because, like I said earlier, you have died as your old self. You are reborn through Christ. And there's a beauty that just nothing is more beautiful than that, that the love that he has for us, just giving us this. I'm going to end here with self-control because I'm gone way over it. Self-control. Last but not certainly least is the quality of self-control. So this is one huge, I mean, it is huge, and it's very difficult for many of us because what is sin? Sin is ultimately the lack of self-control. So once you start to enter into a true sanctification process with our Lord Almighty, expect the Holy Spirit to move on in you very early and through this specific quality. The reason for this is that we all have certain amount of character flaws operating in our personalities. We're imperfect. If we were perfect, Jesus wouldn't have had to come die for us. If we weren't sinners, Jesus wouldn't have had to come die for us. There's a reason that he came down here and gave his life so that we could have that eternal life. So the reason for this is that we all have certain amount of character flaws, and we need to recognize this and find that self-control. But first, you have to recognize a problem before you can fix the problem. So the Bible tells us that our spirits and our flesh will war against one another. Our flesh wants immediate self-gratification, and we see examples of that every single day. Once again, it goes back to impatience. We seek self-gratification. We want things to be done right here, right now, on our time. We need to sit back and let things happen on God's time, because trust me, we're troublemakers. All we're going to do is get ourselves into trouble. We think we have the right answer and the right timing. Well, we got to wait. It's not running. God didn't say, now go run ahead of me. God wants us to walk with him, not walk ahead of him, walk with him. So our spirits know that some of our fleshly desires are not right for us as the results. We become sinners. There will be a tug of war between the two. So sometimes it's a major tug of war for many of us. And the only thing that we're capable to control and curb some of our desires of our flesh is the quality of self-control, which we need to find in order to become less sinners. Like I said, it becomes easier. Self-control becomes easier the more and closer you get to God. So due to our fallen and sinful nature, all of us are weak to some degree, and the quality of self-control becomes weak as well. This is why God the Father made sure to have this fruit listed within those 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit. We all need God's self-control operating within our spirits, within our souls, within our hearts, within our lives, and in our personalities. So if we're going to have any hope in getting cleaned up, properly sanctified to the degree that he would like to see us when we enter heaven, we need to find all of those attributes within us. If you do not have God's self-control operating through you, you'll have a very little victory over such thing as bad tempers, judgment, critical spirits, being unforgiving, the vices that we have, such as smoking, alcohol abuse, sexual temptation, and all of those things. Like I said, God is our self-control. So once the Holy Spirit starts the sanctification process within you, be prepared for some major battles, some major tug of wars within him. Once he starts coming after some of the negative qualities operating within our personalities, the devil tries to intervene, because the last thing he wants is to have more godly people, more people spreading the message throughout this world. So, but if you are willing to yield to him, to allow him to start to work all of these 9 fruits into our personalities, then you will find yourself growing in so many ways, so many areas in our lives. And not only that, but helping other people to grow in the process. God's supernatural power in this area will blow you away once you see how far he can really take you to become the person that he wants you to be. You become in him in his lifetime. So, guys, this is the conclusion to all of this, is that all of the above definitions that I just brought to you, these 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit, give you a perfect description of what each one of them are all about and why God the Father really wants all of these attributes to be represented to our personality. Like I said at the beginning of this, when people see us, they should be able to see the Lord within us. So I hope you guys really enjoyed that. Like I said, this was a really cool thing that I came across. And like I said, is it God leads me to these in weird ways. Like I said, it all started with the number 9, went into scripture to see what 9 represented. And then this all like led to me. And these are such valuable things. Like I said, I prayed last night when I prayed to God, when I had that conversation with him, I was like, God, continue to speak to me. Don't ever let me just walk into a show to do my own thing. If the moment that I hit start on this show, on any show that I do, I want the words that I speak to be coming from you. The last thing that I want to do is to mislead anyone, to make them feel judged, to make them feel not loved. Like I said, we are here to better one another, and it's all through our Heavenly Father. So if we have nothing else in common, we've got the most important thing in common. That is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, our Heavenly Father, who has given us more than we ever deserved. But I am thankful for it. So if everybody would please bow your heads, we'll get into a little bit of prayer before we get you out of here. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you again for another day. We had a little stumbling here and the show went down, dear Lord, but you got us back up, and I thank you for that. Thank you, Father, for speaking to me. Father, I don't deserve it. I look back into my life, and I'm just like, God, why did you ever spend any time trying to make me a better person? It's like any father and their child, you will do any for me. You never gave up on me, Father. You never gave up on any of us. You took us at our worst, and you are making us become our best. Father, we're a long way from being the best that we can be, but we're making efforts every day. So, dear Lord, let these 9 fruits, let these 9 gifts shine within every one of us all the time, dear Lord. For some of us that may struggle with some of these fruits that you give us, dear Lord, give us what we need to become stronger, to understand it, to allow it to become a little bit easier in our lives, dear Lord. Because right now, we're not only trying to make our faith stronger in you. We're not trying to get closer to you, dear Lord. It's not just that. It's about helping other people, dear Lord. Because you love us enough to give us a chance to go to heaven. We should love your other children enough to help them find you, which can also give them that same chance for eternal life and to get into heaven. So on those days, Father, where we get frustrated, pull that frustration away, dear Lord. Those days where we may be a little bit weaker, take the weakness away from us, dear Lord. Give us the strength, or send some of these lovely family members that we've got right here into our lives to help us with this. I see examples of that every day. Dear Lord, let us continue to pray for each other, to wish the best for each other. Let us never forget, dear Lord, that when one of our family fails, we fail right along with them. We are here to help them be successful, and in return, we will be successful. Dear Lord, we need to realize that this isn't about us. Let go of the ego. Unify with one another. Come together, dear Lord. Humble ourselves and realize this, none of this is about us. It's not the voice, dear Lord. If we're speaking our voice, it's because you are speaking through us with your voice. Everything that we do should be a representation of you, Father, and I'm seeing that more and more. And Father, I'm sorry for my mistakes. Every day I make mistakes. Every day I stumble. Every day I sin in some form, dear Lord. But I'm not as big of a sinner as I was before. And tomorrow I'll be even less of a sinner than I am today. And dear Lord, it's because you are working in me and you are giving me a reason to become a better person. But dear Lord, let's remember that every single person here is also a sinner, so we shall not judge them. Dear Lord, we are always here to help each other become better people, point out when we do something wrong, but not in a way that makes them feel intimidated or judged, Father. The true judgment comes from you. We are just here to help one another out, to experience love, the gentleness, the peace in our hearts, dear Lord, all of those beautiful things that you give us to build a foundation in our lives here so that we can show others that we have you in our heart and our soul and absolutely everything that we do. Father, thank you for all the blessings that you've given everyone of us and all the prayer warriors that are out here, dear Lord. And I ask that you lay your hand, a hedge of protection over every single person, dear Lord, especially those that are serving you right now. But do that for those that aren't, dear Lord, but definitely those that are serving you as they need your protection. They need your protection from the devil, from the demons, and every evil thing that is trying to distract us and deceive us during these times. Give us the clarity that we need, the discernment, the wisdom that we need, dear Lord, so that we can take all of the knowledge that we have on this earth and use it to benefit others, not to harm others. But Father, I thank you for blessing Steve and getting him home. Father, that is amazing. And it is just another example of your miracle. So let him rest, relax, know how much he is loved, and get past anything he is going through, as well as all those others that are going through problems right now, whether it be financial, whether it be stress. Dear Lord, whether it be anything that's going on right now, Take that away from them. Heal them. Let them get strong again, dear Lord, so we are ready, fully capable for this battle that we are heading into. But Father, I just want to just simply thank you for everything that you've given us. The big things, the little things. We learn in this life, nothing that you give us is a little thing. Everything that you give us benefits us, makes us better people, greater examples of what you want us to be, dear Lord. We know we can't earn our way into heaven, but let us try, dear Lord. Let us continue to do so. I know repenting, accepting you into our hearts, having that faith in you is what you asked us to do, spreading that gospel, dear Lord. But don't let us stop going above and beyond, dear Lord. An A is good, but an A plus is better. Let us strive for that. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for all the family that you brought together. And I just ask that you continue to give them that love, the peace, and anything in their lives. And let us all stand up to help a brother or a sister as they stumble. So one day they'll do the same for us. And finally, Father, I ask that you give us patience, the same patience with others that you had for us. One of the hardest things to do in this world, dear Lord, but through you, we are capable of absolutely anything. We love you so much, Father. We love you with all of our hearts. In Jesus Christ's name and our Heavenly Father's name, we pray. Amen. Well, family, another great episode. Really enjoyed this one. We'll be back tomorrow. I think tomorrow is Thursday. My goodness, it's already Thursday. So tomorrow will be MSM Liars John. So it's going to be another phenomenal conversation with him as well. And like I said, I will let you guys know on Monday some of the great plans that I can't talk about now. But trust me, guys, things are about to get really exciting in God's world. We are coming together. We're going to unify. We are serving God in great ways, and we are expanding our territory. So once again, I love you all. I thank you so much for all the prayers. I'm praying for you always. Have an absolutely beautiful night. We will see you tomorrow night for Kilt a Christian episode 565, MSM Liars Thursday. In the meantime, I leave you with this.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the
couldn't get to all the replies, but thank you so much, guys. I love you all very much, and I appreciate more than you will ever know. Guys, once again, spoiler alert, God wins. We know the ending of this. So fear not, stress not, let go of all of your anxiety. Pray, pray, pray. Pray more than you've ever prayed before. We're going to need to continue to do so. Spread that gospel from nation to nation. God doesn't ask a lot from us, but we can always shine and do more than he wants, guys. We are here to serve our Lord, and there's nothing better that we could be doing to spend our time right here on this earth. It's not our home. It's just a really terrible vacation sometimes. But guys, I love you all very, very much. Have an absolutely beautiful rest of your evening. I will see you tomorrow night for episode 565, MSM Liars Thursday. In the meantime, I love you, and God bless.